Okay, well, I would like to welcome you to this speed talk session number 7, and with title Innovation and Quality Improvement in Statistical Production. We have 8 presentations. We have something like 40 minutes, and then it means that we have to have 5 minutes for each presentation. So please, I would like to ask the presenters to be on time. And then if we can save some time at the very end, we can have some questions. Okay, we move on to the first presentation. The first speaker is Tatiana Drangovska from the State Statistical Office of the Republic of Macedonia, Quality Monitoring and Improvement of Innovation Survey in Republic of Macedonia.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm going to present about the quality monitoring process for innovation data in our statistical office and the steps undertaken for the quality improvement of the data. Nowadays, innovation is identified as a key driver in the process of creation output and economic growth. Because of that, the need for the measurement of the different aspects of innovation process has increased over the time. As a main data source used for these purposes are the data collected through the innovation survey, especially the data collected through the community innovation survey. Because of the increased need, our statistical office is conducting a survey on innovation, which one is following the community innovation survey structure. For the quality monitoring process of the data collected through the innovation survey are prepared quality reports and are calculated quality indicators. The indicators and the reports are used also as a starting point for identification of the main weaknesses and identification of future steps for the quality improvement of the data. The first type of quality report prepared is the National Quality Report, which one is more user-oriented and is assessing the quality of the output side of the data. The website is the National Quality Report is available on SSO website. The second one, quality report prepared, is SQRS. This one is more detailed compared to the National Quality Report and is assessing the quality of the production process of the survey. As a part of the quality report are calculated quality indicators, and because the innovation survey is a sample-based survey, the quality of the data is mainly assessed by the calculation of the non-response rate and the imputation rate. For the deeper analysis, the non-response rate is calculated for the S total and for services and industry sector. Also, the non-response rate is calculated by the size of the enterprises. The imputation rate is calculated for 3 key variables. The other type of the quality report prepared is the DESAP self-assessment, which one is fulfilled by the survey managers in order to assess the quality of the whole production process. For the quality improvements of the data is mainly established the list of the innovative enterprises. As a data source used for the establishment of the list is used the website Innovativnost.mk. On this website are available information of all innovative enterprises in the country, information about the type of the innovation introduced, the innovation expenditures, the output achieved from the production of innovative products, and the cooperation partner during the innovation process. Also, as additional data source used for the updating of the list of the innovative enterprises, is used the National Fund for Innovation and Technology Development. Our statistical office is receiving data about the enterprises that received the financial support for the introduction of innovation and about the type of innovation that they have introduced. This list is used for the improving of the quality of the sample process design and for data checking. Also, for improving the coherence and the comparability of the data collected through the innovation survey are compared with the data from from other national surveys. For example, the data referring to the R&D expenditures are compared with the data from the national R&D surveys. The data referring to the number of employees and turnover are compared with the data from the structural business statistics. Our future plans for the quality improvement of the data collected through the innovation surveys is mainly the introduction of electronic questionnaire for data collection. The electronic questionnaire will be prepared with the aim of improving the quality of the production process of the survey. Also, because the IT sector is identified as the most innovative one in the countries, for the next reference period, we are planning to conduct the survey for IT sector with interviews. Also, we are planning to continue with the regular quality monitoring process by preparation of quality reports and calculation of quality indicators. Thank you for the attention.
Okay, thank you, Tatiana. We move on to the next presentation by Loredana De Gaetano from ISTAT, the Italian National Institute of Statistics, a territorial model for the management of data collection processes, a case study.
Can you just tell me your name?
Okay.
This one?
Yes.
Okay. And?
I have changed.
This one?
Change it here or here?
Okay. Thank you for coming here today. I am Loredana De Gaetano, and I am a researcher in data collection implementation division in ISTAT. Today I present a case study about a territorial model for data collection implementation. Sorry. ISTAT introduced during the 2016 a new organizational setup in order to improve the efficiency of data collection process. The most relevant innovation concern, creation a new department for provision of cross-cutting service and creation a new central directorate for data collection specifically dedicated to the design, organization, implementation and integration of data collection activities. As the central directorate to data collection, also the ISTAT territorial office were located in the new department. At the moment, there are 8 territorial offices located in Italian national territory. A specific project assigned to a select number of ISTAT territorial offices the new role of running data collection activities on the territory. According to this model, a specific territorial office acquired the role to coordinate the running of data collection activity all the other territories. During the startup phase, the new management project for data collection on the territory is limited to a small number of activities, and the survey of maritime transport is included in the new activities. The redesign requires the revision of method for monitoring the data collection by redefining the report deducible from the dedicated web, the redesign of the data collection for maritime transport survey introduced a coordination role to the territorial office Campania and Basilicata is determined the revision of the flow of the intervention of the particular issue, in particular updating the list of the response, the support of the response, monitoring data collection on the territory and check of the coverage and quality. In In this slide, describe the web application for the survey on the transport, maritime transport, use the Tramarid. I don't describe the web application, but the web application used for the data collection, the monitoring, the data collection, and use to collaboration tool between the territorial office and the maritime agency. It's possible the critical use because to the consistent use of the resource of the data collection the directory due to in the first important aspect is the very difficult the management system is very rigid, it's very difficult transmission the management system of the territorial level. It's very difficult to extending the harmonization objective typical of the central data collection. It's very difficult in this role to separate the thematic and non-thematic topics because it's the very difficult to have the separate situation. The case study concerning the involvement of the Campania and Basilicata Territorial Office in the data collection implementation introduce an innovation way of mining of data collection. The first result point out the capacity of the territorial office to assume the role of the leadership in the management, coordinating the activities of the other office and the role of the reference to the central structure of the data collection implementation division. But the Maritime Transport Survey application represent the very important experience and is possible to extension to the other statistical survey in the future. I thank you for attention and I final my thank you, but I finish my presentation. Sorry.
Okay, thank you, Loredana. I would like to thank the speakers for, finishing on time. Okay, we move on to the third presentation of this special session, Low-Kino Smartphones, a Triviality by Johannes Volk, from the Statis, the German Statistical Office.
So I want to talk now about the login on smartphones. We started to test questionnaires on mobile devices, and we were wondering if the login is an issue by doing that. So what did we do? We did a qualitative study. We invited 27 test persons, probands, to our pretest laboratory, and they were asked to fill in our questionnaire on their own mobile device. We observed them, and afterwards we did a cognitive interview with everyone, and of course we analyzed the records. So what were the results? The first result was that 7 out of our 27 test persons had problems to find and open the right website, which was quite a surprise for us. They have chosen the wrong website from a hit list they got from Google or had spelling errors in the URL. And afterwards we asked during the interview, how they would rate the access to the website, and it was just typing in a normal URL. It was nothing special for, we thought it would be nothing special at all. But even here, 4 out of our 27 persons said that it was rather difficult or difficult. So what we have learned here is we have to take every single detail very carefully and have to look on every single step during the whole process. But coming now to the real login, we had a 2-step login with an access number and activation code. So we split our sample, our test persons, and one half got a cryptic code. This is where we are coming from. This is what we normally do. You can see it's not easy to read. And The other half got a catchy code, as we called it, and the main difference is that these catchy codes had word-like components. It was easier to read, but they were a little bit longer. So what were the results here? Well, the persons got a little bit more problems with the cryptic code. There were typing errors caused by switching between the keyboards, and they did not differentiate between lowercase letters and capitals, and some were overlooking single characters. We have to keep in mind that this is qualitative. We shouldn't overrate the numbers I present here. We also asked our persons how they would rate the effort for the login, and here we got a obvious picture that it's easier with a catchy code, so that is what we wanted to, more or less. But we don't know if we can use these catchy codes because they must be checked by our security authorities and data security authorities, and it's not clear now if we are allowed to do that. I would like to do it, but it's a kind of tightrope walk between user-friendliness, where I'm coming from, and data security. So in the end, I would say no, login on smartphones, it's not a triviality. There are differences between the smartphones or the mobile devices and desktops, and you should look on the details, and it's people have problems, and for us it was really worth to have that study. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Johannes. You broke the record, which is good for us anyway. Okay, we move on to the third presentation, the fourth presentation, coming from Bosnia and Herzegovina, Edin Sabanovic, Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina, with a long title about the quality of the 2013 census of population, households, and dwellings in Bosnia and Herzegovina, statistical results versus political controversies.
Good evening, everyone. Long title, short presentation. I will talk about the quality of Bosnian census of population and households, and about the acceptance of its results by data users. The Agency for Statistics of Bosnia and Herzegovina conducted the population and household census in October 2013, after 22 years of gap and lack of basic demographic data in the country. But from the very beginning, census was given a very huge political importance. And the census in its preparation phases was intentionally misinterpreted by various unprofessional interest groups. For example, as a population register or data source for property management or tax issues and so on. People were motivated to let them enumerate it during the census data collection, even those are not inhabitants of Bosnia and Herzegovina by statistical definitions. And the aim of the census was significantly simplified and reduced to the issue of ethnic distribution of the Bosnian populations. Even highly educated people accepted such a view. Only very few individuals and institutions were talking about the census as a pure statistical survey. For all these reasons, issue of the census results quality was very important for my institutions. And 2 weeks after the census data collection, we conducted the post-enumeration survey in order to measure the quality of the census results in terms of its coverage and content. We applied the international methodology of dual system estimation, but this method must be adjusted by additional statistical analysis, latent class analysis, in order to appropriate in order to be able to appropriately calculate the probability of belonging to the target population for every single statistical unit which was overcounted. Every country dealing with statistical censuses suffer of undercoverage. Bosnia and Herzegovina suffered of overcoverage. We had a typical overcount of population, and that was the reason that we applied additional statistical analysis method, and our best Latin class analysis model was based on three variables: sex, age, and matching status of household. In brackets, you could see the measure of goodness of fit of this model. On the basis of this analysis, we could calculate main or basic coverage indicators of the quality of census in terms of coverage and contents. Our population estimate was 3.35 million, while the census count shows 3.5 million. Almost 200,000 people were overcounted. 42,000 were undercounted. So net coverage error rate was minus 4.6%. We also calculated several content indicators, indicators of the quality of census in terms of contents and answers to our questions. We calculated five indicators: net and gross difference rates, single and aggregate index of inconsistency, rate of agreement. All aggregate indices of inconsistencies and average net difference rates were in low range, except for citizenship, where it was in medium range. Several categories of few census variables show middle level of index of inconsistency or single net difference rate. In brackets, you have this example. Only one category had high level of index of inconsistency. That was the modality didn't work, but has a job to return to a modality of the variable activity status. This is for us a clear sign that additional attention should be paid when designing future censuses of statistical surveys. To conclude, the Bosnian reality is that there was intentionally misinterpretation of the census by various interest groups. The influence of politics in the preparation, conduction, and analysis of census data was very, very strong. Statistics, politics was much stronger than statistics, and political behavior of several members of management of statistical institutions was evident, which was totally against the EU code of practice and law on statistics in Bosnia and Herzegovina. That is a clear sign of very low statistical culture in my country. And three recommendations for the next census, census 2021. First one, census should be treated as a clear statistical survey. We have to remove sensitive questions on ethnicity and religion from the census questionnaires. And the last one, politicians have nothing to deal with census. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Edin. We move on to the next presentation. Sabine Schuster, Statistics Austria. Flash estimates and increasing data quality as a result of modern IT applications and job satisfaction.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to talk about flash estimates and increasing data quality as a result of modern IT applications and job satisfaction. I'm going to describe that on the road freight transport statistics in Austria. This is performed as a disproportional stratified sample survey and consists of a sample population of 66,000 vehicles, where 26,000 vehicles are drawn. The sample is stratified by the size of the company, the type of transport, the region, the weight class, and the vehicle type. And the publication of results is 5 months after the reference quarter, according to the regulation. And we now have also flash estimates, which we publish 1 month after the reference quarter. So preliminary work included, preliminary work before publishing flash estimates included the implementation of a Java application for the validation process. With the application, we also had to revise the workflows and reorganize the workflows. And we have now one employee responsible for the complete validation of his questionnaires. Also, the application does check more than 100 plausibility errors, and it's also easier to reconstruct the journey of one reference week, as we can see here, for example. Not only did this application have these technical improvements, we also observed that those workflows, those reorganizations had a positive impact on the daily routine of the employees. And here I want to refer to the two-factor theory by Herzberg. He does differentiate between the motivators, those are the factors related to the content of work, and the factors related to the context of work, the hygiene factors. And we've seen that through job enlargement and job enrichment, several motivators improved. With this improving motivation, the work performance enhanced and resulted in a higher quality and an earlier availability of the data, which are basic requirements for flash estimates. Having these prerequisites, we had to do statistical analysis as well before publishing flash estimates, and we had to answer two questions. When do we have a sufficient large number of received and validated data? And are there any systematic differences in the received and validated data at the time of estimating flash estimates versus the final results? Looking at this figure, we can see for the main variables of road freight transport statistics, the transport volume and the transport performance. We'll see here the final results and the flash estimates with their sampling errors. And it can be observed here already that neither the absolute differences nor the sampling errors did differ that much, and the flash estimates were consistent with the final results. Also, I'll show you this big table, but it's not that hard to understand. So we do have like 25 strata for road freight transport statistics in Austria, and here we see the vehicles per stratum and the percentages. Also for the final results and the flash estimates for the first quarter of 2016. And we can see that that no structural differences arose in those different strata at the different times, and also that the percentages differ only marginal regarding the different groups. So having this satisfying results and positive results, we are now able to publish flash estimates. We do that since the reference year 2017. So here in this figure, you actually have the publication of the end of April. So the data users would have been able to have only information for of the third quarter by then. And now with the flash estimates, we could already provide them with information on the results of the main results for the fourth quarter of 2017 and the first quarter of 2018. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sabine. The next presenter is Michael Blom from GESIS, the Leibniz Institute for the Social Sciences, Mannheim, Germany. Do declining response rates negatively affect sample composition? A longitudinal analysis using data from the German General Social Survey.
Good evening, everybody. I want to talk to the questions, do declining response rates negatively affect sample composition? The starting point of this presentation is the point that declining response rates are a continuing problem in household surveys in Western countries, especially for household surveys with voluntary participation. And now the question is, if this decrease in response rates comes together with an increase of data quality or an increase of non-response error. In this presentation, we'll take the German General Social Survey, which provides a very good opportunity to analyze the relationship between this point of declining response rates on one side and non-response bias on the other side. Because in the German General Social Survey, we use the same basic survey design since 1994 with some improvements, but basically it's the same design. And we have an accurate calculation of response rates over the whole period of time. Just some key figures for the German General Social Survey. It's a multi-topic survey. It's a repeated cross-sectional survey, which is fielded every 2 years. It's a face-to-face survey with samples of named individuals. It's very important for the analysis because we have prior information for the target persons. And very important, but not good for our survey, but we have a decline in response rates from about 20 percentage points in the last 25 years, from 55% in 1992 to about 35% in 2016. Now, let me turn to the indicators for the non-response bias. We use two types of indicators. On the one hand, we use R indicators, which measure the variability of the estimated response propensities. We use this indicator for the cross sample, that means for all the target persons. We estimated the response propensities with the independent variables, gender, age, nationality, urbanicity, and region. And we also look on conditional partial R indicators to measure the relative importance of these several independent variables. On the other hand, we also use, as indicator for non-response bias, the index of dissimilarity, because we only use we can use five variables for the R indicators. We use for the net sample seven variables and compare or look for the deviations from our sample to the German microcensus and compare gender, age, education, marital status, work status, and occupational status for respondents. Now let me turn to the results. First, I will present you the results for the R indicator, that means for the cross sample. On the left side, you see the R indicators calculated with the five independent variables. On the y-axis, you see the R indicator. The higher the R indicator, the better the sample. And on the x-axis, you see the year of the conduction of the survey, and you see a very interesting figure. Over the years, data quality is increasing, measured by R indicators. That means also the response rates is decreasing. The quality of the sample measured by the R indicators is getting better over time. If we look on the right side and differentiate between the five variables, we can see that most of the variables are less important over time for non-response bias. Only the variable ethnicity is increasing. That means that ethnicity is getting, or is more important for the calculation of the non-response bias for the cross-sample of the ALBO surveys over time. Now let me turn to the deviations from the microsenses. As I said before, we can only compare the respondents to the microsenses. And on the left side, you see the mean deviation for the seven variables I mentioned from the German microsenses in percentage points or in index of dissimilarity. On the x-axis, you see the year of the conduction. And you see also in this figure a very interesting interesting figure. There is no association between the declining of response rates and the deviation from the microsenses. That means also for these variables, we have no significant loss in data quality over time, although response rates are decreasing significantly. On the right side, there's information separately for the different variables. As I mentioned before, some variables are getting worse over time, like education in the green line, and most of the variables are getting better over time on the right side. Just to sum up, despite a decrease in response rate of 20 percentage points, we get a better balanced sample composition according to our indicators, and an equally well-balanced sample over the years for the deviations from the microsenses. For most of the variables, we found smaller non-response bias over time, and only for some variables an increase in non-response bias. That means response rates alone are a very imperfect indicator for non-response bias. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Okay. The next presentation is about response rates as well. By ISTAT, the next person, Annalisa Lucarelli, the Italian National Institute of Statistics, maintaining good response rates while changing survey techniques. The case of the Italian Quarterly Business Survey.
Can you just tell me your name?
Annalisa Lucarelli. Yeah, the first one. The first one. Thank you. Okay. This one.
You can use this or this.
Good evening. I'm going to present our experience, the experience of the Italian Quarterly Job Vacancy and Hours Worker Survey, in maintaining a good response rate while changing the survey techniques. The Quarterly ISTAT Job Vacancy Survey collects information which allow to monitor labor market dynamics, in particular, hours worked, measure the labor input, while the job vacancy data are considered leading indicator of the employment dynamic and included among the principal European economic indicators. Focusing on the survey techniques, starting from the first quarter 2017, survey technique was changing. In particular, passing from a mixed mode data collection, which combined computer-assisted telephone interviewing and computer-assisted web interviewing, was changed for only a computer-assisted web interviewing. As expected, after changing the survey technique and using only computer-assisted web interviewing, there has been a fall in the response rate, which is declining between the 2 years. However, the fall was much lower than expected, thanks to a set of measures that has been taken in order to avoid, in order to contain the fall. This measure includes email reminders, both certified email reminders and email normal email reminders at specific dates defined in agreement between the data collection unit and the unit responsible for the production of statistical outputs, but also phone call reminders that was carried out by an external provider of outbound services. As the figure shows, we can see high correlation between the daily number of respondents and the daily number of phone reminders. Furthermore, we can see peaks after the dates of the email reminders. Furthermore, much attention has been paid in order to allow to the sample enterprises to communicate it with the unit responsible for the statistical output production by means of email, certified or normal email, but also phone call to a toll-free number, which is managed by an external provider of inbound services. Concluding, we can see that the measure that has been taken in order to avoid the fall in the response rate after changing the survey technique, bypassing to only a computer assisted the web interviewing, have proven so far to be very satisfactory. But this is due to the fact that there has been a nice synergy and close cooperation between the unit responsible for data collection on the one side and the production of statistical outputs on the other side. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Annalisa. Last but not least, the presentation by Barbara Gobalczyk, SGH Warsaw School of Economics, Design and Analysis of the Improved Poisson and Negative Binomial Eigenkamp Techniques.
My name is Barbara Kowalczyk. I work at the Warsaw School of Economics and I specialize in mathematical statistics, so my presentation will be a little bit different, but I hope you will enjoy it. So today I am talking about sensitive questions in surveys, questions about stigmatizing illegal attributes, which I cannot ask directly. I cannot ask, have you ever bribed an official? Because everybody tells me, are you out of your mind? Never in my life, of course. So I can do this indirectly. Recently, Tian and others proposed a very simple technique for indirect asking about sensitive attributes. So they divide their sample into control and treatment group, and in the control group they ask one completely neutral question: how many times did you travel abroad last year? And in the treatment group they present two questions, one of which neutral and exactly the same as the previous one, and the second one sensitive: have you ever shoplifted? And they present two questions, but they ask to report only the sum of the two questions. So the sensitive variable is not directly observable here. It is a latent variable. But using mathematical methods, we still can inference about the sensitive attribute. We can assess with no problems how many the proportion of people having the sensitive attribute. Okay, and their model have many advantages. It is very simple. It can be used in telephone surveys and internet surveys. And it is respondents quite friendly, but it has one disadvantage, that it is not very efficient. Because in direct methods of questioning, you need really large sample sizes to obtain reliable assessments. And their technique is not very efficient because they need really, really large sample sizes. So the precision of the estimation is not very good. So we have focused on the increase of the efficiency of the estimation. And we propose another model. So we divide the sample into two groups. So the traditional distinction between control and treatment groups does not exist. In the first group, we ask one completely neutral question. Just for example, how many times did you use taxi last month? And we also present two questions, one neutral but completely different than the first one, of course, and the second one, the sensitive question, and we also only ask to report the sum of the two questions. So all responders are completely protected, completely and fully protected, okay? And in the second group, we only switch the neutral question. So our in the first group, we first ask about question X, and then the sum Y plus Z, and then and then we only switch the neutral questions. Okay, and by using mathematical methods, even if the sensitive variable is not directly observable here, it is a latent variable, as I said, by using mathematical methods, we can inference about the sensitive proportion of people who have the sensitive attribute. So we have obtained empirical baseline unbiased estimator for our new model and also maximum likelihood estimators. But because the sensitive variable is not directly observable here, we had to use some iterative algorithm, and we have used EM algorithm. EM algorithm is very often used for non-response, for example. Okay, and these are formulas for the expectation maximization algorithm. And next, we have also conducted a series of simulation studies. We have conducted Monte Carlo simulations with 10,000 replications for each set of parameters. And both for non-parametric approach, as here, and for parametric approach, we have obtained a substantial gain in efficiency as compared with the first, with the original model. So this is our contribution to the theory of indirect methods of asking sensitive questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, just for the sake of asking at least one question, let's have one question if there is one. Okay, well, I'll ask you later questions. Okay, I would like to thank all the presenters, Tatiana, Loredana, Sapin, Annalisa, Barbara, and the gentlemen, Johannes, Etienne, and Michael. And you for being here. Thank you very much.